Take a deep breath in. Inhale the breath of life into your soul, into your body, into your mind. And for the next few moments as you listen to this podcast, let's drop out of the thinking mind, out of the ego thinking brain, and down into our hearts, into our body. Let's just be present, present in this moment. Give yourself a little break from the chaos and the thoughts of the mind. Welcome back, everybody, to Slay and Shine, Spirituality, Self-Care, and Empowerment. This is Clemence Lafredis. I am a spiritual self-care energy healing coach. Today, we are talking about the book, Inner Engineering by Sadhguru. But before we get started, please do remember to love, like, share, send out this podcast to whoever may need it, who might be struggling with some triggers and traumas and dramas, some stresses, some anxieties, maybe needing some healing physically, mentally, emotionally, and just something in this podcast might, you never know, help inch them closer towards the life and the healing that they really want for themselves. And please, if you are not a normal or regular meditator and want to get started, check out my website, slayandshine.com, for the Moon Bath Meditation Club for the next upcoming full moon or new moon meditations and journal prompts. It's a great way to start adding in to your calendar at least twice a month time with your soul. Date your soul self. Today, I have one of my most favorite people in the whole entire world, Nikaila Mariah. She's been a huge part of my own quest for healing after experiencing a heavy nervous breakdown in 2017. I used to own a gym, and one of my clients asked me to check Nikaila out for her, thinking that I had more experience in the spiritual woo. Since then, she's been in my life every single week for 4 years. We are discussing the book Inner Engineering by Sadhguru. Nikaila, why did you pick this book and what did you love about it?
It's funny because you said, what book are you reading? And I was telling you, I haven't read this book in so long. It's the basis of all of the work that I do in some way, shape, or form, because he gives you the blueprint in this book to run your life. And it impacted my life in such a way that even though I haven't read it in a long time, I deeply, deeply know and understand his teachings from that experience, because of the way that it really just broke me open.
You've been through so much in life, being a young mother, being married in a toxic relationship, going through cancer, getting a divorce, being successful in your career as an educator, and then quitting your job, starting from nothing, scratch, zero, and then going out into business on your own. I can see how a lot of what you've been through and what you do and how you serve people now has a lot of foundation from Sadhguru's teachings. Can you tell everybody what it is that you do and how you serve and support people?
Yeah, so for inner engineering, I usually base my self-mastery courses off of the inner engineering practices. So teaching people how to get back to themselves, restructure themselves, and that's a lot of the one-on-one work that I do. And with our healing school, we take my expertise in this, self-mastery, and my business partner's expertise in energy work, and we combine them with both of our passion for the chakra system. And we interweave all three of those together to create our curriculum for our healing school. So it's a really incredible program. I have a master's degree in curriculum design and education, so we were able to take this curriculum and get it accredited through the International Energy Healers Association because of the level of impact that these teachings have. And like you said, Clem, you're in your third year, and it's life-changing for us and all of our students.
Yes. I worked with Nikyla for a year and a half in a one-on-one coaching client situation. And a lot of it had to deal with just working through a lot of my trust issues, not wanting to be intimate or close with people anymore, a lot of the betrayal and hurts and pains that came with having relationships in the past with business and clients and just people in general. And she helped me through all of that. And eventually she was so loving, kind, and encouraging. She was like, hello, let's try to move on now towards healing school. And I'm so happy that she did, because it opened me up to working with people again, working in a sharing and vulnerable space with others. But the biggest thing that she has taught me through this years is about my own personal power, taking back my power, being responsible for the perspective and the choices of emotions and energy that I created my life with. I think back then it was more like, they did this to me. This is the situations that happened. They said this and that, and they gossiped and they hurt my feelings. And of course I'm going to be mad and angry. I didn't choose to be mad and angry. They did this to me. I have no choice in the matter. And one huge, huge lesson that she's given me is I always have the choice. I made the choice. And she'll put the question back into my pocket or into my court all the time. It's like, hey, these are valid emotions that you're having. You're allowed to have them. They're valid, but do you want to keep them? What do you want to do with them? What do you choose? And I love that you've done that for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's like, that's a huge concept too, though, of, you know, this work and even what inner engineering talks about is that's our power. But as a society, as a people, we put so much energy, so much thought, so much everything into the external. Everybody does. When people hire me, they think I'm going to heal them or fix their problems, you know, and they're shocked when they figure out, like you did, that no, I'm going to edge you out. I'm going to push you deeper into yourself. And that's excruciating sometimes and uncomfortable. But when you find the happiness there, it's everlasting. Whereas if you find the happiness in the external, it's fading.
Yeah. You know, I think we've been so ingrained as a society to believe that we have no power, that the power or the control over our emotions belongs outside of us, is dependent on whether or not I have a job and I'm making enough money, or the weather, or if people are nice to me, or if my day is going well and I don't have a choice of how I feel or how I react to things, because it's not about me. It's about something or someone else outside of me, maybe a situation, circumstance, or whatever. I love how Sadhguru talks about yoga being a key component to tying everything together. He talks about the science of yoga. And even though I do yoga for its physical benefits, I learned a lot from this book, especially dispelling a lot of the beliefs I had when I was in church that yoga had to do with believing in different gods. And so people in church were like, be careful. When in fact, yoga is connection to our body, breath, and to the cosmos. When we do these yoga poses, they are shapes mimicking and aligning us to sacred geometry. And now science is even proving that everything in the universe, including the universe, is geometry and cannot exist without geometry. It is our human drive to connect to infinite divine source. And yoga helps us do that through our breath and through our body. The word yoga means union and unity. The misconception I believe I got from church is that yoga leads us to believing in other gods and it's evil. And so this book is divided into three sections: body, mind, and energy. It talks about how being connected to all three, that we can create bliss in our lives. He talks about how he doesn't smoke or drink or do drugs, but he always looks stoned. Can you tell us more about creating bliss?
It's so fascinating the way I think that we numb out as, you know, physical beings. And what when we dive into the teachings of this book, and, you know, he talks about how he can feel his cells and his vessels. And the thing about inner engineering is it means that you have complete and utter awareness of every ongoing in your mind, body, and spirit. And because of that, you get to move these cords and cables within you however you want. But it takes something that most people aren't aware of. And we're going to have this conversation that's kind of can, unfortunately, in our society seem gross, even though I think it's a beautiful thing. So sorry, Clem, that I'm throwing this at you, but this is the story that's popping into my mind. My friend and I were talking the other day about our cycles as women. And I use a cup, and my daughter uses like reusable pads, and she uses tampons or whatever. So we're talking about these different things and why I do the things I do. And I was just talking about how for me, my body doesn't like the idea of something foreign inside of me. I can notice it, I feel it. And she's like, "Oh, you're putting it in wrong then." Right? And I was like, "No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, I am very aware. Most women insert a tampon and go 12 hours and sometimes even forget that it's there. I don't do that because I'm constantly in tune with my body, right? I know what's inside my body, whether it's chemical or whether it's something processed or the air that I'm breathing, right? And because I know those things, because I'm in complete awareness of those things, I can make the tweaks and changes that I need to make to create better feelings. I can alchemize my pain and grief and sorrow into bliss and pleasure and happiness as I process through it, because I know it's a choice and I know it's within me and my own inner engineering to create that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're so well practiced at listening to your body, knowing how things feel, and questioning what the meaning is behind it, where most of us are like, "Oh, it's just a runny nose," or "My side hurts," or "I have back pain," and then just kind of plow through the feelings and emotions or the signals and the communication that our body sends us. I don't know, most people really take time to ask their body or ask the energies and emotions that are coming up for answers.
One of the things that Sadhguru talks about so much is like the diet. Like, as Americans especially, like, we fill and fill and fill ourselves with food, and he eats rice and raw fruit and vegetables and a very small amount of it. And I eat in a very similar way. I definitely binge when I let my human come out, but most days I'm just fasting. And every class, every session, like even right now, my body just shakes because I feel the energy flooding through me. And that's how I write so much. That's how I produce so much. That's how I'm so present with the people I'm with, is because I'm not clouded by all of the shit. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on your podcast. I'm trying to be very well behaved today, Clem.
Oh my gosh, you are so silly. I knew exactly what I was getting into when I invited you onto my show. I mean, your life, you living your life authentically as you are, has really inspired me to be fully acceptance of who I am and fully in love and cherish of who I am, and to just show up exactly who I am, not and stop people pleasing for the many, many years, the 43 or 45 years of people pleasing that I did. So I knew, and I love you for it. Thank you so much. But one of the other biggest lessons that you have taught me is that the power is in my hands, that you kept bringing back everything to me, as opposed to me looking outside of myself, blaming other people, blaming the situations, and feeling hopeless or stuck in marriage, stuck in business, stuck in money, stuck in being alone because I don't want to be in friendships that I feel small in or victimized in. And so I love that you always brought it back to me and helped me process and analyze how I showed up and how I perceived situations and perceived challenges and strengthened my ability. And I think there's just a lot of times when I'm like, just tell me what to do, Nakayla. Just tell me what to do. Just fix it for me. Or tell me exactly. Let me write down. I would even say this. Like, let me write down exactly what you said so I can just repeat what you said, because I don't do it right. Or I don't, you know, I've been told so many times that the way I talk is not correct, and I don't deliver correctly, and I hurt people's feelings or whatever. And I'm like, just tell me how to say it. Just tell me what to do so that I can fix my life. And you're like, nope, use your own free will. Be authentic to your heart. Be authentic to your soul. Honor it all, and learn and grow through it. But we just want, I mean, like, I think society just wants someone to fix us. We just want no control. We complain about not having control, but then we give up our control and our power so easily.
Yeah. That's the biggest premise, though, in this book, is that freedom and self-responsibility go hand in hand, right? It's you being able, and responsibility, I love his definition of it. It's, and I've always used this since the moment I read this book, is it's your ability to respond to life. That's what responsibility, how are you responding to life? If you have this treacherous circumstance come, are you numbing out? Are you blaming others? Are you retreating, right? If you are, that's probably one of the reasons you're so numb to life, because you're not standing in your own personal responsibility.
Okay, since we're going there, I'd like to read a passage in the book about devotion. Sadhguru says, devotion, it's a dimensional shift. Most people live cautiously, measuring out their love and their joy and sparing doses for fear it will run out. The most generous way to live is to set an example to the rest of the world by living life full throttle, beyond limitations. If you are so stingy that you cannot love, laugh, live totally, you are what we call in India a conjuice, which is a miser on all levels. Devotion means you are not a conjuice. You are full of juice. A devotee is one who seeks and explores life as fully as possible. Devotion is not a dissection of life, but a total embrace. It's not a love affair, but it's a crazy business. Love itself is crazy, but there are shreds of sanity you can still recover. In devotion, there is no shreds of sanity. There's no way to recover. Devotees have the sweetest experience of life. Everyone might think they are idiots, but they're having the best time on the planet. When I say devotion, I'm not talking about faith or belief. Belief is just like morality. People who believe something often believe they are superior to others. All that happens is that your stupidity acquires confidence. And for those who are being triggered by the word stupidity, please try to continue listening on. Confidence and stupidity are a very dangerous combination, but they generally go together. If you start looking at the world around you, you'll realize that what you know is so minuscule that there's no way to act with confidence. A belief system takes away this problem. It gives you enormous confidence, but does not cure your stupidity. Devotion is not an act. It's not directed to one thing or another. The objective of devotion is immaterial. It's just that you dissolved all the resistance in you so that the divine can transpire as effortlessly as breath. The divine is not an entity sitting up there. It's a living force every moment of your life, and devotion makes you aware of this. When I read this, I totally thought of you, Nagaila. Regardless of what you're going through in your humanness or in your spiritualness or in the combination of both, your this definition of devotion he describes. Your life has been an example to me, and I'm sure a lot of people, of what real devotion looks like. Not the church devotion that we all grew up to know, of where there's a leader and a follower, a master and a slave, but you live yoga, which again means a union with the divine. So many of us are stuck in a programming. How do you override the matrix?
Well, first of all, thank you for your words. I receive that, and thank you for seeing me. The topic of devotion, it makes me deeply emotional because I know the power of it. And this is one of the things that my passion for creates a deep, deep, deep fire in my belly when I see people so resistant to devotion. And what devotion really truly is at its core is it's trust. That's all it is. And it's standing in that trust. And the thing about being in out of the illusion, out of the matrix, is that it's a trust and a knowing of your goodness, of what you are. But there's no mold that carries you. It's the perfection of who you are and moving through life that way. Because when he talks about devotion and living life to its fullness, we get stuck as muggles when we let those moments define or imprint things upon us, rather than life is feeling uncomfortable right now, I'm going to laugh, or I'm going to feel this. And the thing about me is I just honor and feel all the things. You know, I feel the pain, I feel the ugly and the bitter, and I feel the joy and the pleasure. And it's because of my feelingness and choosing to be in joy no matter what I'm feeling, right? You can be in joy while suffering, because for me, it's about, if I'm going to be here on earth, and I know you understand this, Clem, if I'm going to be here on earth in my calling and in my mission, then I'm not going to waste a single moment of it being numb or numbing out my mind. You're not going to see me binge watch hours of Netflix, because I don't exist in these four walls. I'm expansive like the universe, right? So when people judge me, I very clearly see that it is them and not me. And if we could all do that, just take responsibility for our own selves. I say this all the time, and people really take this the wrong way. And it's the kindest thing I say. It's focus on yourself. You know, especially like even with my partner, it's just focus on yourself. I'm not being mean. I just, that's the solution. When you focus on you, when the whole world focuses on themselves, I believe with my whole heart, we all rise in love, because I know that's what we innately all are. And so devotion is just living life without trying to think or control. It's just trusting in the present moment and trusting in the symbols that are going through your body, mind, and spirit and what they're saying to you. And that's what self-mastery is all about, you know?
Oh, I so agree. In the book, he talks about how most of us live our life in self-preservation, day to day, the same, because we don't want to suffer. But what if we aren't afraid of suffering? that question kind of like, but think about it. What if you weren't afraid of suffering? We've heard of the phrase, you know, what would you do if you weren't afraid of failing? But what if you weren't afraid of suffering? So he tells a story about a person who lived a life of no contrast or excitement, unfulfilling. This person chooses to go to hell because at least there you can do something or help somebody. Without the fear of suffering, he can do that because there is no suffering unless we choose it.
Thing is, the answer is why not? Because any of those huge things that come up for you, my kids, my bills, responsibility, like that's all attachment, you know? Unfortunately, I've lived a life that has shred every ounce of attachment I could possess. So attachment's easy for me to let go of. But when you're attached to your mortality, when you're attached to your relationships, when you're attached to your accolades, you become imprisoned by them and you don't take risks.
We're not going to be able to cover a huge section in the book called Energy today, but if you're ready, I would really strongly suggest that you look into enrolling into healing school. Or if you catch me on TikTok, I'm doing a series on chakras there,
which is so amazing, and I love that you're doing it. The world needs more of you.
Nakayla dared me to be on TikTok, y'all. I was so resistant and didn't want to show up because I just didn't want to be seen or judged. But who cares? That's the beauty of TikTok, is nobody knows me there. And I can act and be in my truth and silliness, whatever that looks like for me on that day. You challenging me to get on that platform really helped me heal more of my throat chakra, to put down the masks and the control of people's perception of me. And it's been so much fun.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and let me tell you, the trolls have showed up and made comments. But the difference between my past and now is, at least now I know that I can handle and respond in a way that is clear and from my truth without being so emotionally charged.
They do. I know. I told you they would do.
You've taught me so much about managing my energy so it doesn't drain or get sucked out of me. What are some tidbits that you can share regarding energy?
So a couple things. Number one, it's about being aware again, right, of where your energy is going. And so the first thing is I don't really have to pull my energy back anymore because I'm very, very in tune with my energetic investments, right? I know that if I'm angry about something out of my control, I'm wasting my energy. But not only that, pieces of my energy are going into that thing, person, idea, event. I won't do it, right? So the first thing is being aware. Every emotion you feel that is outside of yourself or directed towards another person or organization, you need to be aware of and pull your thoughts and emotions back from it. And this is my favorite thing to say. This is what I say anytime I feel like my energy field has been expanded, and this is my go-to for my clients now, and we can just repeat it after me. I now call back.
I now call back.
My power and energy.
My power and energy.
From any and all beings.
From any and all beings.
Taking it from me.
Taking it from me.
With or without my consent.
With or without my consent.
So be it.
So be it.
Yeah. And that you feel that already, right?
Oh yeah. I felt that so yummy down here in my second chakra.
Yeah. You say that all day long, but you just got to remember, like, be really choosy about where your thoughts and emotions are going.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that's going up on my wall in big letters. So last question, how do you maintain your energy?
Again, first I got real, and this is what I take my high-end clients through. First they become very, very aware and observant of where their energy and thoughts and everything is going. And then every human is different. So I can't tell you what all of you can do, but what I can tell you is that when you get to know what makes you feel great and what makes you feel shitty, you fine tune your life, and it's about the foods you eat, the people you're around, the smells you smell, the songs you listen to, the shows you watch, the all of those things. When you fine tune that, like my circle is Cheerio small. I have three people that I call friends, three. I have a community of family that's a little bit bigger. And then I have my healing school clients, all of those people. But who I associate with on a daily basis, the foods that I put into my body, the way that I work out, the way that I sleep, the way that I move through the day, I'm just very in touch with what my body needs, and I take responsibility for it, which means I respond to the little hiccups. I respond to anything that doesn't feel good.
Okay, one thing that Nakaila did teach me 4 years ago, and it was so foreign, was to reach my arms out and feel around me, above me, and around me for my energy field and my life force field. And I thought, this lady is crazy. I feel nothing. You kept asking if I felt it. Do you feel it yet? Do you feel it yet? And looking back on my life and how my thoughts were so scattered with worry about judgment, I was hurt and resentful of all the gossip, and I was depressed, scared of messing up, not wanting to cause more judgment and gossip. I became really angry, blaming people for how my gym ended up. But now I realized I let my energy get drained and scattered and not being fully in my own body or present. You were trying to help me pull myself back into myself, pull my energy, my emotions, to come back home to myself and be present in the now so that I can live my life.
And that just reminds me, I'll just say one more thing about this book, if that's okay, based on what you just said. I'm going to butcher this, but he tells, he has like a little parable or whatever. I think it was like Aristotle and Heraclitus or something. Please do not quote me on that part. But one dude basically is walking down the beach. He sees another dude scooping up sand out of the dirt. And he walks up to him and he's like, homie, what are you doing? And he's like, I am digging a hole to pour the ocean into. And he's like, that's never gonna work. Premise of the story, we have these small holes right here, and we're constantly trying to fit the entire universe of knowledge in them and wonder why we don't feel good. And that's what that whole devotion and trust is. It's like that trust that I know what I know in this moment. I'm not going to worry about the things outside of my control or the people outside of my control. I know what I know, and I trust that. And I live according to that rather than trying to figure it all out and put all of this water into a tiny hole, all of this expansive knowledge into our human vessels that just simply aren't capable of decoding it all. And I think that we could save ourselves a lot of time and energy if we could just be with what is present within our bodies and selves now and stop trying to fucking figure out the whole world. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I feel like all of this over worrying, over stressing, overthinking, over analyzing, way over judging, way over assuming has caused a ton of havoc in relationships, in our lives, taking up so much brain space, so much unnecessary time and energy, robbing us of joy, that we could just be here on this earth right now just loving one another, just having fun and enjoying our time, this blessed and gifted moment in time on this planet. I love you so much, Nakaila. Thank you.
Love you.
I so appreciate everything you've done for me and my family, and I feel like, you know, it's a lot to say, but you have helped save me, and I am so grateful. Everybody, please check out Nakaila's podcast called Self Mastery Bitch. And where else can they find you?
NakailaMariah.com. I have daily rituals that you can subscribe to, which basically is a daily email from yours truly about things you can do to expand your mind. Or check me out on Instagram. If you go there, you can find Healing School. You can find the Solutions app. You can find pretty much anything you need to know about working with me.
Yes, Nikylat Mariah is spelled Nikyla Mariah, Maria.
Yes. That's a good one. You know how to spell it. The world does not.
Right? I thought I'd help people out. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining our show today. Thank you, Nikylat, for joining our show today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm grateful that you recommended this book. Everybody, again, don't forget to love, like, share, rate, and review this podcast. Send it out into the world. Also, check out slayandshine.com for the Moon Bath Meditation Club for the next full moon and new moon coming up. Have a great, beautiful week, everyone. Bye.